If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Can a simple kids game that we all played, I guarantee you, we all played this game when we were kids, is it now considered a tool of oppression? It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Good morning. So, Sam, you sent us this story yesterday about this kids game we all played, and I was shocked. I didn't even think it was a true and serious story when you first sent it.
Yeah, there was a study out of Vancouver, and they basically determined that dodgeball unfairly bullies kids. And their reasoning was that it reinforces a lot of faces of oppression. And as I'm reading it, it kind of made sense on paper. So they say that it reinforces things like marginalization, powerlessness, helplessness of those perceived as weaker individuals through exercise of violence, and dominance by those who are considered more powerful. And basically, they just say that the game is dehumanizing and it instills negative values that we wouldn't otherwise teach children.
Huh.
Which, when you think about it, I mean, dodgeball does bring out all of those qualities.
It does.
I never thought of it as a malicious sport that did any, like, lifelong harm, you know?
But is it just dodgeball, though? Like, my thing is, look at kids when they're playing tag. They always pick the kid that's not as quick as everybody else to be the person who's tag. So the quick kids have an advantage.
Like, no matter what game you play, there's always going to be kids that will feel left out.
Well, that's what I mean.
And
I look
dominant
at
kids.
Like, I look at Noah, who's playing soccer, and there was no U11 teams, not enough players, so he's playing in the U12 category. So he's playing against kids that are twice his size.
But that being said,
and he never wins. I don't know.
That being said, I mean, it really stings as a kid when you're consistently not picked.
Yeah, or if you're the first one out, right? Because the stronger players are always picking on the weaker kids to get them out of the game so the stronger players can kind of have their own game within the game. You know, I get it a little bit. I mean, I played dodgeball when I was a kid in school, and I was one of the better players because I played baseball, and I was able to throw the ball hard. But there was other kids that could throw the ball harder than me, and so even then, they would still pick on me. I was able to, I was able to pick on the weaker players, and the stronger players were still able to pick on me because I was kind of in the middle. It's part of the thing of, like, it's part of growing up in a way.
I think
It's kind of a rite of fire. You don't want it to get out of hand, and usually games like dodgeball are played with teachers or gym teachers or whatever, with their supervision.
Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of up to them, too, to kind of to police the kids. And when you see something getting out of hand, you have to step in.
Well, not just police the kids, but also how about the teachers make the teams instead of always picking, like, your two best athletes to pick everybody? Because I was always the last one picked, right? Because I was, like, kind of a loser. But I was always the first one out. Because I wasn't athletic.
Yeah.
So, boo for me. My gym classes sucked, you know? It wasn't fun.
It's a small setback. But when I think back to all the people, all the kids in my grade that weren't picked for these sports, I look at them now and they're laughing. I mean, these guys are scientists, they're doctors. I mean, they're like, you know what? It's okay. I will forego not being picked, but I'll get my, I'll have my moment.
A couple years of pain, but you're going to be working for me down the road.
Yeah.
Same with Duck Duck Goose.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I hope they don't outlaw a game that was such a good movie. That would be very, very sad. But who knows? Maybe it'll happen. Well, you know, times are changing, and you know, we kind of have to roll with the punches. And maybe this is one of those games, just like Red Rover. I don't think they play Red Rover anymore either.
You have an issue with that game, don't you?
I do have an issue with Red Rover. Red Rover is my dodgeball. I felt like I was picked on for Red Rover because
you were never called, or they called you all the time.
They called me all the time.
Awesome. You were the guy just running back and forth.
It hurts. I didn't enjoy it whatsoever.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Sam, you've got a couple brothers, right?
Three younger
brothers. I've got a younger sister. Claudia, you're an only child, but you are a parent of a boy and a girl, right?
Exactly. So Noah's 11, Lily Blue is 7.
And your daily life is basically trying to get them to stop arguing.
Honestly, it is my challenge. Like, that's what I find the hardest about being a mom. Parenthood to me, the biggest thing is to be able to deal with the sibling rivalry, because I have no clue what that's about, because I was an only child. I used to have dinner with my parents. I had all the attention. I had about 10 pets, which I never got into fights with. So for me, it's very difficult to deal with. Jason comes from a family of 3, so he's used to that type of bickering. He knows what it's all about. But for me, it's really hard to see the two people that I love the most not like one another.
How old's your son?
He's 11.
And your daughter is?
She's 7.
Okay, so it's a 4-year age gap.
4-year age Boy's gap.
Boy's the older one. What do they fight about?
Everything.
What don't That's they fight the, about?
Exactly. I feel like most of the time it is to compete for my attention. They'll come home from school and they'll start telling me about their exams, but they'll interrupt one another. And I got 85 in this, but mom, I got 10 on 10 in this. And it's a constant competition. And I try to tell them that I love them both equally, but I feel like they... there's moments, I gotta say, okay, like there's moments that it's cute, they love one another, but most of the time it's arguments and bickering. And
then when they do get along, you're skeptical because you say to yourself, well, what are they trying to get out of me? Like, are yeah. they plotting now? Yeah. You know?
And sometimes that happens. Like, they're really nice to each other and they look at me like, can I have my iPad? I'm like, oh, so yeah. you were just being sweet so that I give you something.
But you gotta think, I mean, they're so young still. Eventually the arguments will stop. I mean, me and my sister, we're 4 years apart as well. And I think when we were their age, we argued a lot. But as we got into our late teens, the arguments just kind of simmered down. We started to live our own lives. And now we're more so, we're not super close, but we're more so friends. It's like if we weren't brother and sister, I would be cool to hang out with her. Eventually, it's going to stop.
Well, you're giving me hope.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just seven or eight years down the road.
You know? Yeah.
Sibling rivalries, I don't think maybe they subside, but they don't go away. I know that with my brothers, even though we're more civil and we're more tame now, I mean, we're always trying to one-up each other, even if it's in a subdued way. We're just always...
But why?
It's just, because
why
we're so much alike. We're so much alike. And so I guess that whenever one of us has an idea, we bring something up, we're just like, it's in our nature to want kind of one up each other.
So it's a competition.
But we don't really see it that way. I guess it's when you're around people that are so much like yourself, everything always escalates for no reason.
Because they know how to push your buttons and you know how to push their buttons.
Yeah, without even doing so, you know, voluntarily. So kids, they don't have, you know, as long as they're not picking on kids outside the house, you know, I think it's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's natural for especially the older sibling to want to pick on and, you know, toughen up the younger siblings. I know being the eldest of four, that's kind of your job. I mean, growing up, that's what it is.
And parental researchers have said that siblings argue on average 3 to 7 times per day. Not per week or per month, but per day.
Oh, they could have an hour.
Maybe that was what the research said. Maybe they got it a little bit wrong. It was per hour. Let's talk to Janice. Janice, you said that you and your brother basically almost killed each other when you were younger?
We did.
What's the age gap? What's the age difference?
3 years between myself and my brother.
Were you the older?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you always won every argument, right?
No. Well, kind of. Like, we just fought over everything. Like, if he looked in my direction, Mom, he's looking at me. If he was breathing, I would get upset.
How bad did it get? Like, what was the worst point?
I think when he threw a shoe at me and it went through the window. I ducked and it went through the window.
Oh, God.
We would fight, it would just be nonstop physical fighting. Sometimes.
Oh,
yeah,
my
sometimes.
God. Now you're scaring me.
Yeah, sometimes. But you know what? I mean, we both got older and now we're best friends.
Oh,
and
really?
And my kids, my two youngest kids also fought like cats and dogs. Like, I thought, oh my God, you know, they're never going to get along. But you know, now they're great together. They're best friends too. So it's just something that I think that, you know,
it's
you
normal.
Just grow up with is normal to me. Yeah.
At what age did this change? At what age did this tide start turning and you started to get along?
Probably in our late teens.
Yeah, that's where me and my sister started to, our tide turned a little bit. We started to get along as well because we kind of got on that same page when we were in our teens.
Well, that's it. Like, yep. I mean, my brother and I were still very competitive, but in a very friendly way now.
Yeah, there's hope. Thanks for the call, Janice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, Claudia, quickly, you've got 3 tips of how parents can get their siblings to get along.
Right, exactly. Well, the first thing is to have empathy, right?
Okay.
Just, they want to be heard. They're seeking for attention. So instead of answering the typical, like, stop tattletaling or just figure it out, you just stop and say, I hear you and I understand you. And that's going to ease the pain. But also letting them work it out. Sometimes we tend to intervene too quickly as parents, like within the first 10 seconds.
Right.
Wait at least a 45 seconds to a minute. See if they could work it out. If not, then you intervene.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last tip is to be fair. You know, what I do now is whenever they start saying, they try to get each other in trouble, right? I send them both to their rooms.
Nobody
or I give
wins.
Them, exactly.
Yeah,
nobody
exactly.
wins. They both get in trouble.
Mommy wins, she gets herself a glass of wine. You're the
or
winner.
Two.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
two.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So, If you're a guy who wants to be on the cutting edge of fashion this summer, Sam, I know that's you, right?
Oh, I'm all over that, yeah.
Well, I
know. Can't you tell by the way he's dressed today?
Every day. Well, good luck with this. Allegedly, the hottest summer fashion trends for men are crop tops. And we're not talking like the 80s crop tops where all the cool ripped muscle guys were wearing them. These crop tops, they're tight, they're form-fitting in the sleeves and across the chest. What are you on board with this, Claudia?
Okay, so I'm usually not very opinionated, but I'm going to be very blunt, and there's no way that can be sexy. There's no. Nobody can look good in those.
Why not?
Not even if you're at the gym. Not even if you're in the house.
Why?
Because it's not sexy.
Well,
there's nothing
appealing. It could be.
How can
it's
it
a
be?
Very feminine, like a garment, you know.
Yeah.
I had a tough time imagining what it would look like, so I actually had to Google what men in crop tops look like. And like the guys that can pull it off, let's just say they have the physique.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the tight tummy, and like because where it ends, like you want it to sort of, you know, contour properly.
But yeah.
I don't know. I don't think every guy can pull it off.
Well, this is a debate happening on Twitter, and it's about 50-50. It's split. I think maybe it's because we're not used to the look. If this look had been around for so long, crop tops on guys, maybe it would be just kind of old hat, and it wouldn't be a big deal to us.
I disagree.
That's a good point. You know, when skinny jeans first came out for guys, people thought that they were very effeminate. But look at it now. I mean, like, guys are all wearing skinny jeans at this point.
I never thought I would ever rock skinny jeans. Now I got two pairs, and they're the most comfortable things I own.
But to me, it has nothing to do with something that is feminine, because you look at guys that wear skirts.
Yeah,
I don't mind the skirts as much as I do the crop top.
Right.
The crop top bothers me more. I find a guy sexy, even though you have a six pack. I find you sexier wearing a nice slim fit t-shirt and skinny jeans than the crop top.
Would you ever check out a guy's midriff, like check out a guy's abs if he's wearing a crop top? Because I don't know. I would never want to flaunt that.
And not everybody can flaunt it. And that's going to be the problem with that style, is that a lot of people that can't get away with it will still wear it.
But they'll try.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.